So what if you woke up tomorrow morning and found yourself, found yourself living in a just, sustainable community? What would it look like? How do people live? How do they spend their days? Who's in charge? What kind of shelter do they have? What is the weather like? Who does the grunt work? In graduate school a few decades ago, I learned about the Abbé of Thelem, an invention of French humanist author François Rabelais, mid-16th century. It was an anti-monastery without any hierarchy or discipline. The only rule was do whatever you want. People spent their time in genteel pursuits like singing madrigals and reading books. Children were educated in reading, writing, musical instruments, and foreign languages. Under such conditions, Rabelais believed, the fundamental goodness of human beings could flourish, and the New Jerusalem of St. John's Apocalypse would come to be. Rabelais doesn't say who does the grunt work. Maybe there wasn't any unpleasant work in the Abbé of Thelem. There are many fictional variations on the theme of ideal society, from Thomas More's Utopia to Shakespeare's Forest of Arden to utopian settings in today's science fiction and fantasy. But these are all fictional accounts, works of the imagination. How many uplifting stories do you know about the real world? Much of the conversation we hear about our culture and society in the United States focuses on issues and problems. The aging infrastructure, I'm going to give you a list, I'm sorry. I'll probably leave out something that's important to you. Guns, air and water pollution, police brutality, climate change, money and politics, student loan debt, racism, domestic violence, homelessness, gender discrimination, mass incarceration, homophobia, income inequality, terrorism, ableism, unemployment, overpopulation, gridlocked urban traffic, gridlocked legislatures, just to name a few. And I wouldn't suggest that these are anything but real and serious concerns. Here are a few of my observations about this dominant negative focus. First, stories of disaster and misery grab our attention, don't they? And media outlets use them to compete for audience share. It's not surprising that we are constantly assailed by distressing information. Also, the worldview implied in much of this discourse assumes a mechanical model of society, as though our complex, multicultural, multi-layered, dynamic communities were telephones or mousetraps. If this were the case, identifying problems would be a legitimate and effective step in resolving conflict and relieving suffering. But social groups including congregations, by the way, are not mechanical, but organic entities. Human beings are living creatures made up of organic systems, and so are groups of people. And then note the grim tone of the conversation. In his 2008 keynote address at the Unitarian Universalist General Assembly, the Ware Lecture, activist Van Jones pointed out, "It's time to reconnect with love and enthusiasm. Martin Luther King's speech was not, I have a complaint, I have a critique, I have a list of issues. We need beautiful dreams. The country isn't looking for critique, but inspiration to be our best self." End of quote. And by the way, Van Jones is still around, and he just created a new feature. I'm not sure what the platform is. I'm sure you could find it on YouTube, of bringing people together on different sides of issues to talk about their human experience. It's very inspiring. So our country actually doesn't lack beautiful dreams. We still aspire to the American dream of equal opportunity and fairness, as articulated by the founding fathers. But many of the stories we tell about America belie what we understand to be the founders' vision. We're disillusioned to learn that the founding fathers themselves fell far short of the ideals they advocated. We're disillusioned and discouraged by the contradictions we observe today, how far we have strayed from the historic Enlightenment ideals we hold sacred. What would happen if we made a point of looking for different stories, examples of affirming projects, shared celebrations, and heart-stopping beauty? Our experience is shaped to a great extent by the way we frame the events of our lives, the stories we tell ourselves and others about things that happen. Culture is a human artifact, and we can work together to reshape and transform it for the common good. In her book, Eco-Mind, environmentalist activist Frances Moore LaPaix describes how our shared vision of the future may, in fact, make the future. Public discourse abounds in apocalyptic tales about global warming. However well-founded these dire predictions may be, they do little to promote the needed transformation in individual behavior or environmental policy. However well-educated we may be about climate change, there's little in a dystopian vision to encourage individual or collective action. We need a powerful, positive vision to supplement the desperate warnings we get from the scientific data. So let's try something. Hold your hand up in front of your face. Fingers spread. Right. Look at your palm. Notice the color, the shape, the lines, the wrinkles, the bumps, the crevices. Now, adjust your eyes to focus on the scene beyond and around your hand. Notice how different the view looks, how much more there is to see just in this room. Your hand is as real as ever, but it isn't the only object in your field of vision. Okay. This experiment demonstrates how compelling a shift in perspective can be. If we choose, we can imagine our vision of the future of human life on this planet. If we choose, we can envision a just and sustainable future for the interdependent web. If we choose, we can find stories that encourage and inspire us to work together toward the world we dream about. So I've gathered just a few examples, and they're real life stories. Maybe you will think of more to share during the coffee hour. They're full of possibility. On the PBS NewsHour a couple of months ago, I learned about an organization started in Chicago called Mothers Against Senseless Killing, or MASC. It's created in response to an epidemic of gun violence and provides volunteer street patrols of mothers and men to supplement law enforcement. The founder, Tamar Manasseh, said this: "This is not complicated. It's a lawn chair, some hot cocoa, and some cookies. You can change the world with that. It's that simple." End of quote. The group's website reports, last 4th of July weekend, while many parts of Chicago were in war zones, the MASC army of moms patrolled and hugged their way into a violence-free, peaceful weekend. That's pretty inspiring, I think. The visionary program is spreading to other cities afflicted with epidemics of violence, and you can see on their website. So here's another one, since Veterans Day is coming up this Friday. An organization called Justice for Vets. Their slogan is, "Veterans fought for our freedom, now it's our turn to fight for theirs." A couple of years ago, I watched every episode of The West Wing on Netflix. Now I'm watching it again, one episode at a time, along with a podcast called West Wing Weekly. It's been a great antidote to the news about the current election. Every episode is a civics lesson. For one episode, the guest on the podcast was a former cast member, Melissa Fitzgerald. She played CJ's assistant, Carol, on the show. Fitzgerald now serves as senior director of Justice for Vets. This organization works to expand treatment courts, specifically serving veterans. Treatment courts take a public health approach to solving problems that would otherwise involve prosecution and incarceration. Many vets suffer from combat-related mental illness, substance abuse, and post-traumatic stress injury. Some have great difficulty reintegrating with civilian society and wind up in the criminal justice system. Veterans treatment courts offer an alternative to prison, and they have an excellent record helping veterans move forward with their lives. On the environmental front, there's good news too. Global energy-related CO2 emissions flatlined in 2014. That's not a headline. The use of coal has been declining sharply. Health concerns have gradually moved dietary preferences in the United States toward more sustainable food sources. U.S. residents have been driving less since 2004, and this is measured in vehicle miles per capita. The endangered Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog population has rebounded in Yosemite. A small piece of good news, but oh my goodness. The movement to stop construction on the Dakota Access Pipeline continues to grow, raising awareness in all kinds of ways. This past week, there was a gathering of over 500 religious leaders in solidarity with the water protectors at Standing Rock, including many Unitarian Universalist ministers, seminarians, and lay leaders. So these are just a few examples. If we choose, we can see past the lurid headlines to perceive the positive trends that call us forward. If we choose, we can learn to understand ourselves as part of an organic rather than a mechanical system. We can perceive problems and solutions as always dynamic and everywhere interconnected. If we choose, we can recognize that our individual destinies are inextricably intertwined. However lonely we may feel, we are never alone, either in grief or in celebration. There will always be grunt work. Pain and loss are integral to the human condition. But just suppose we update Rabelais' Abbé of Thelem to envision not a monastery or an anti-monastery, but a thriving, just, sustainable community, the community we dream about. It is not just fantasy. We already know what to do, and we will find that there is enough food, enough goodness, enough knowledge, enough power, and enough love to transform the world. So let's do it. May it be so.